To you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this, the fifth Sunday in Lent, is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 11th chapter. We will read verses 1 through 45 in that chapter. So that's John 11, verses 1 through 45, where we read in the name of our Lord. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go unto Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. and he that was dead came forth, bound head and foot, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, once again we look to you. We look to you for life. And indeed, Father, we find it. Hardest thing for us to understand, Father, is that we have been raised to newness of life. And we're simply waiting for our body to catch up. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. This, of course, is a very well-known story in the scripture. There's a number of points said here to emphasize a very significant thing. The understanding is Bethany wasn't very far from the house of Lazarus. It was only a couple miles, literally. Jesus could have easily been there. But he says very clearly, it's to understand that this is so you would understand the nature of God. That what you would see would bring you to the point of realizing how God really is in relationship to your life. You see, we have this weird understanding of death. We say things like, there are two things that are inevitable, death and taxes. No, there's only one, taxes. You see, the hardest thing for us to understand, because we're three-dimensional creatures, and we exist in a three-dimensional universe, and we function according to the understanding of three dimensions, and it's hard for us to even get our mind around a fourth dimension, which is called space-time, and I'm not going to go into Einstein here. But the fact of the matter is, it's hard for us to begin to wrap our minds around something like the fourth dimension. How do you deal with a creature or a being that exists that is infinitely dimensional? If you're a three-dimensional being, how do you even function in a two-dimensional world? If we were only two-dimensional and a three-dimensional being came into our world, what would we see? We'd only see flat because we're two-dimensional. That's all. We're three-dimensional. We have depth. We're actually four-dimensional, but like I said, I'm not doing the space-time thing. But when it comes to this point, we're dealing with a being who is infinitely dimensional, that exists in a way. People talk about there being like 10 dimensions now, and nobody can even illustrate what any of those things are like because we're three-dimensional. They can only be theoretical to us. We can only look at them and try to understand them theoretically. And that's our problem, not God's. God, as an infinitely dimensional being, enters our existence in Jesus Christ, his Son. And that's the strange thing about being Jesus, is that Jesus is infinitely dimensional, but he takes on three-dimensional existence. So Jesus knows that all of this other stuff that we don't see and we can't experience, he knows all that stuff. He knows all of this. And he's trying to relate to people that are only three-dimensional within their three dimensions. And what we don't understand is that God has overcome death. What interfered in our three-dimensional existence and brought this awful thing to us, this thing we call death, we don't understand that God, in the infinity of his existence, has overcome death. We are so governed by death, we define everything within death. You know, I always use that example. For four easy payments of $19.99, you can escape death. You know, now whether it's some goofy sort of formula thing that they put out or skin cream or something else, there's something you can get for four easy payments of $19.99, and you can get a second one if you just pay the shipping and handling. Man, aren't we lucky? We can escape pretty much anything. And it's only $19.99 a month. Four times. We are so geared to death that we have honestly forgotten how to live. We've forgotten how to live. We live in the shadow of death. Now, David says, though I walk in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, the key to the understanding of what happens here is not trying to figure out why did Jesus wait, and why didn't he go there and do these things? And you have this hilarious stuff that's taken place. Jesus says, because he's using a play on words. And as it is, in most languages, you use these words interchangeably, sleep and death. And Jesus uses this word. What he says is, the disciples are like, well, he's dead. Jesus says he's sleeping. Actually, what Jesus says in Greek is he's taking a nap. He's taking a nap. The disciples turn around and say, oh, well, that's really good. If he's taking a nap, then he's probably going to get better. And then Jesus turns around and says, well, no, actually, he's dead. So that they can understand what he's talking about. But you don't understand, is what he's saying. Death doesn't exist within your understanding of death. Death exists only as God defines death. If God doesn't let you die, you can't die. You have no permission to die. That's what I'm here to tell you right now. You have no permission to die. As much as you might be fixed on it, and you might be trying to escape it, and you might be doing everything that you can about it, you have no permission to die. You are not allowed to die. All that's going to happen is your physical body will cease to function. That's it. But you will never die. You cannot die. You are not allowed. It won't happen. So just knock it off. Why don't we just knock off trying to live with death and just learn to live? Learn to understand every day is the gift of God of life. It is a gift of life. It is to understand that you get up in the morning and you are alive. But you're not just alive for that day. You happen to be alive forever. You're not going to stop living. Because you are not governed by your three-dimensional body. You are governed by an infinitely dimensional being who happens to have joined you to himself so that you would live. And that's exactly what we see here. You got to love this. John comes in and says, of course Jesus loved them. He says this right away. It wasn't that he didn't love them. He tells them right away. He loved them. He loved them very, very much. And this was the same Mary. John is anachronistic here. She's not going to anoint his feet yet. You know, that's going to take place later. But he says, this was the Mary that anointed his feet. For crying out loud, you think he didn't love him? Of course he did. He loved them. But he wanted to know them to know something. That God is greater than death. That life is greater than death. And that's why he says, there's 12 hours. I'm not afraid of anybody trying to put me to death. You see, this is the juxtaposition in here. The disciples were scared that if Jesus goes over there, they're going to kill him. He's like, get this. I'm not afraid of death. Death doesn't govern me. I live in the light. So I walk in the light. He says, I don't have any problem with this thing of death like you do. And he says, I'm happy I wasn't there. So that you would see. And you would believe, that you would know. And he comes to Martha, and he has this great conversation with her, which is one of the greatest things in all the scripture. Martha says, if you'd have been here, if you'd have just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But anything you ask, I know that God will give it to you. So she's like, but, you know, I know that if you will ask, you can still do wonderful stuff with this. Jesus says, your brother will not rise again. She says, well, yeah, that's a given. We all know that. She says, basically, of course, at the resurrection, of course he's going to. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Don't confuse me with your ideas about death and life and about time. He says, I am the resurrection. He says, where I am, that's where life is. I raise you to newness of life. I'm here to die for you, to take away your death, so that you will live. And that's precisely the point, that we would live, that we would live. He says, I am this. It's not just an act that takes place. I am it. And he says, the person who has faith in me, he says, though that person is dead in their sins and trespasses, he says, they'll live. They're going to live. He says, and whoever lives and believes in me, has faith in me, will never die. You don't have permission to die. So why have your mind fixed on death? If you're trying to escape it, your mind is still fixed on it. Death is not even something that we should entertain or speak about. And I know I'm talking to a bunch of Europeans, and they're all fixed on death, for crying out loud. All you got to do is read their philosophers. You read Kierkegaard, and it's like, oh, for crying out loud, would you take a break, Soren? You know, it's like, can't we just live? Yes. Why? Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's the life. He's living. And he's living in you, and he's living in me, and he's living in all of the human race so that they could live. They would live. He says to Martha, do you believe this? And that's really the key. Do you believe this? She says to him, honestly, she says, I don't know if I can believe even what you're talking about at all. She says, but one thing I do know, you're the Christ, the Son of the God. You're the one. That's really the key. If you're in Christ, you will not die. You will never die. As part of the body of Jesus Christ, you will live. You're immortal. And I try to remind you of that all the time, try to tell you all the time, you are immortal. You are immortal. You cannot die. You are not. Don't look at these comic book characters and think, I want to be an immortal. No, you know, they don't work out so hot because somebody's got to write a story about them and they're just way too dramatic. You're immortal. You are immortal. Yes, your fleshly body will die, but it will be raised again at the last day. That is true. But you will never die. You will never die. You will always live. And that's what we understand. That's why we understand when we do the Lord's Supper, we recognize very clearly this is a completed circle. It's a completed circle. All of the people who have physically died in Christ are on the other side. They're on the other side. Now, I don't mean they're in the parking lot. I mean that they're on the other side. They're existing in a way that you can't see because we're only three-dimensional. We can't see the infinite dimensionality of God. But when God is present with us, God makes that our reality. That's why we confess the communion of the saints. We are always joined together. That circle cannot be broken. And you see, the hardest thing for us in life is exactly the question that Jesus puts to Martha. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? And that's the key, to believe it. So that you don't walk through life in fear of death, because that's why the book of Hebrews says that Jesus made us free. All of those who, all of their lives, who lived in the fear of death, He liberated. He made them free. So we would no longer live in this fear of death. And we can see what happens here because everybody's very sad, just like we get when it comes to the death, because of the separation aspect of it. It says very clearly, everyone was very sad. They're very sad, and that's appropriate. It's appropriate. And Mary, when she comes to Jesus, you know, she falls down on his feet. She says the same thing Martha said. If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus sees her crying, and he sees the Jewish people who are there mourning with her. And he's very troubled in the spirit. This is a very interesting Greek word. It says he's really kind of ticked off, is what it says. It's an expression of anger. And what is he angry with? Well, he's angry with death. He's angry with seeing what death does to us. And he said, where is he? They said, come and see. And he began to weep. He begins to shed tears because he sees what it does to us. And he's the end of it. Scripture says very clearly, Jesus is the end of death. He is the victor over death. And so the Jewish people say, oh, he must have really loved him. No, he already loved him. That wasn't even the issue. It's that he loved them. He loved those Jewish people that were crying over Lazarus. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. He loved Lazarus. He loved the human race. And he didn't want us to live in fear of death. He didn't want us to be in that bondage. And the people began to say, well, couldn't this guy who did all these wonderful things like opening blind eyes, couldn't he have even saved this guy? Yes, of course. The whole point is that's exactly what he's doing. And he comes to the place where Lazarus is, and this is no happenstance. In other words, it's a cave and there's a stone on it. Because in the not too distant future, Jesus will experience this himself. And he says very clearly, roll away the stone. And you got to love this. You just have to love this. Martha says, he's going to stink. Are you sure you want us to roll away that stone? He's going to really stink. You understand? When we live in death, we stink. That odor is all over us. Have you ever dealt with people that really are just lost in death? You know it. You recognize it. They stink. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of stink. I'm talking about that odor is all over them. They live in so much fear of death. Martha says, he's going to stink. Jesus basically says, do you think I care? Because he ain't going to stink. Because I have preserved him. He's not going to stink. And as a matter of fact, this is done so that you would see what your God is really like. And they rolled away the stone, and Jesus simply says, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And then he says this great thing. He says, nah, I know you always hear me. He says, I'm not doing this, you know, for like you and me. I'm not doing it for that. He says, I know you always hear me. He says, but so that people would hear and they would know what's going on here, and so that they would have faith, that they would have faith that you sent me to do this. And it says, and you got to love this, I'm not going to do this to you because it would really hurt your ears. He didn't just say, you know, like Lazarus, come out of there. In Greek, it says, he shrieked. He shrieked is the word. He screamed it. He screamed, Lazarus, come out. Because he wanted them to see and he wanted them to know that this infinitely dimensional being that created all of us is not stopped by death. He is the victor over death. And Lazarus comes out. What else could he do? For crying out loud, God just yelled at him. You know, it's like we run when our parents yell at us, for crying out loud. God just yelled at him, so out he goes. Says he was all bound up with the burial clause. And Jesus says, let him loose. There's a great significance here. Let him loose. Let him loose. He's free to live. Let him loose. Let him loose. So he can just be free to live. Let him loose. And when they saw this, many of the people believed on him. You see, we need to understand we're loose. We're free. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are free. Our sin has been taken away. It has been washed. And it is not ours. We can't have it anymore. We aren't allowed to have it. You know, you always like those things where you see the cartoons, no fishing in the Sea of Grace. You're not allowed to fish in the Sea of Grace. There's no fishing there. Now we have one thing, and one thing only, and that's life. We have life. We're not looking back and recounting our sins. We're not looking back to see everything that we have failed at, because you know what that does? That brings us into death. That brings us constantly into the realm of death, and we don't realize we're just being suckered. We're being played for suckers to bring that stuff back in, to start to play around with death. No, you're free. You're free. Your sins are forgiven. in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are free, you have peace, and you have joy, and you have life. You have life. So now, why not just live that way? You know, that's always the $64,000 question. That dates me, you know, I know. That TV show hasn't been on for years. So probably we want to say, you know, that's like the $1 million question, but even that's getting too cheap nowadays, you know. So whatever you want to call it, why is it that we just simply don't live? Live. Don't live your life looking over your shoulder. Don't live your life looking and trying to find all of your failure. Because if you do that, you know what? You stink. And death is all over you. But if you will, by God's grace, live. Look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, and live. It's okay. It's okay to live. It's perfectly fine to live. In fact, that's what God wants. And that's why Jesus says, I did this so that you would have faith. You understand. You will never die. Never die. You're going to live forever. So why not just practice now? Why not get started right now? There's no reason to have to wait. It's okay to live. It's okay to enjoy the peace of God. It's okay to enjoy His salvation. It's okay. And you know what happens when you do that? You live. You live with a thankful heart. And you live knowing full well, I don't know how long this stuff is going to last. I don't know how long anything will last. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, for crying out loud, and I just forgot the oil. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how different things are going to go. But I'm going to live forever. And in the end, St. Peter, when I get to the gate, St. Peter ain't going to be at the gate, but we always say that. St. Peter, when you get to the gate, he's not going to say, hey, Jay, remember that time you forgot the oil? No. Not really going to matter. We live. We live. And we live for eternity. Because the infinitely dimensional God has joined himself to us in our three-dimensional world. And he will liberate us from the three dimensions. And he will bring us into a place that we can't even imagine. And he already has. We just can't see it or experience it yet. Live. But just like it says here, did he love Mary and Martha and Lazarus, their brother? Does he love you? Oh, yes. Yes. With a love that will never die. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, once again we look to you for the power of the resurrection, which is life, and life that is eternal, and a hope that brings us to that place that by faith we know what we can't perceive in our senses, what we can't perceive in our understanding of our dimensional world. We know that this truth transcends it all. So we thank you this day, Father, and we pray. Grant us, Father, that ongoing grace to live, that we would simply lift up the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, and glorify you for eternity. For Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.